right, everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. It is I, your host, Pizza Mind, and I am joined today, as always, by my great friend and partner over there, Bryce Paul in San Diego. Bryce, how are you doing today?
Life is good. We got no more June gloom. We now have sunny, sunny skies. So I'm a happy guy. I've been spending some time at the beach.
And in the markets as well, I feel like the worst of the storm clouds is over. So it's time to get back to education. Shake that fear off your shoulders. It's time to get back into the mix here. And joining us in the mix today is Corey Whitaker, the executive director from Ethereum Named Service Labs, or ENS Labs. And we're going to learn about something that's making crypto transactions much, much easier. And God knows we need that. So, Corey, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast.
All right, Pizza Mind and Bryce, thank you so much for having me. Great to be here to chat with you today.
Yeah, we're really excited. ENS has been around for a long time. What's like the founding story of ENS?
Yeah. So our founder, Nick Johnson, he was a dev at the Ethereum Foundation and decided to work on solving this problem, or what we're calling the hexadecimal problem, making transactions easier and identifying wallets easier. So the project started to gain traction. And so he spun out ENS from the Ethereum Foundation, and it's been off to the races since.
Yeah, I guess the main thing y'all are trying to solve is, like you said, the hexadecimal problem. But for somebody who's like kind of listening, like, well, what's that? Well, like whenever you send an Ethereum transaction, you have this big, long script, you know, 0x1234 GBY, you know, and you guys are basically bringing, you know, human readable names to Ethereum wallets. Is that right?
That's right. Human readable names. So just like with the traditional web, those addresses we're actually going to, those IP addresses are 123.456.789. Mm-hmm. And then the DNS layers on a human readable name so that we're not having to remember all those IP addresses. Same thing with the crypto wallets. As you said, these are lengthy, 0x123WXYZ. But instead of trying to remember that gobbledygook, you can just remember Bryce.eth, pizzamind.eth.
Yeah. No, it's a really good system. You know, kind of like, you know, for instance, email, like, you know, imagining every time you want to email someone, you have to know their IP, but now there's a layer on top of it where you have their email address. You know, and even with websites and stuff, are there competing standards?
Right now there are competing, I think, companies and ways of resolving addresses. But ENS, we were the innovators in this space. And so, you know, I think we're kind of leading the pack and setting the standard now.
So if I wanted to reserve pizzamind.eth, would I need to go to ENS and every other provider on the planet, or just ENS and then it's reserved all across the Ethereum blockchain?
Yep. So you go to app.ens.domains, and we recently launched a new version of the app a couple months ago. So if you've purchased a domain in the last several years, it was probably not the best user experience, but we've upgraded and made it much more seamless, intuitive. So app.ens.domains, and you can search, for example, Pizza Mind.
And
did you register this already?
I did not. Did someone steal it?
You did not. Someone has it.
You bastard.
Somebody's going to
send a strongly worded on-chain message to this address.
right.
I am the real Pizza Mind, is what you should say.
Right. Oh, yeah, there you go. Or you could register realpizzamind.e. And so you just register it once at ens.domains, and that's all you need to do.
And, you know, if I think about a domain name, you know, www.bryce.com or whatever, I'll go to GoDaddy or I'll go to one of these websites that I guess is a broker in order to like get that name. Is the similar kind of scenario exist in the world of Ethereum, or do I have to, is it much, you know, much different process?
Yes. So one of the unique things about ENS is that anyone can access it, right? The jargon term is permissionless, but anyone can access the protocol and build on top of it. And anyone can actually set up a system to register domains. So you can create a website to register ENS domains. Anybody can. There's no gatekeeping to it. So they're one of the most well-known places to register a domain, apart from the main website, is ENS.vision. That's one of the larger providers of purchasing .eth domains.
And then, you know, in the case of, you know, PizzaMine, his name's already stolen, and domain, you know, domains, you know, do expire. Do ENS names expire?
Yes, they do. So when you register a domain, you can pick the number of years you'd like to register. So a basic domain is $5, five USD per year, and you can register as for as many years as you want. But the names do expire. So if a name expires, there's an opportunity to purchase our domain. And the other thing you can do, as Peace of Mind said, you know, send them an on-chain message or try to reach out to them and make an offer.
And one of the other things I think about here is, like, you know, sometimes in the DNS world, you know, you could have one domain and it redirects to like your main domain. Is it possible in the world of Ethereum naming service that you can have, you know, 10 disparate Ethereum addresses and all of them kind of be associated with one ENS?
Several different Ethereum wallet addresses,
yeah,
associated
like,
with
and,
one
and basically
ENS.
Anytime someone sends money to, you know, Bryce.eth, it'll go to one of those. Or anytime somebody sends money to one of those addresses, it'll redirect to Bryce.eth, for instance. And no, I do not own Bryce.eth for anybody who's listening.
Bummer. Yep. So for a given ENS address, you can only associate one Ethereum address. Because the goal is to be able to send transactions or identity with a specific wallet. So if you want to send ETH from pizzamine.eth to bryce.eth, it has to go to one given wallet. Now, one of the cool things about ENS is just not on the Ethereum blockchain. You can use it to send Bitcoin, to send XLM, XRP, HBAR. But the way the protocol works is that it recognizes what chain you are sending currency on and pushes the currency toward the proper chain.
Can you redirect an ENS address towards a smart contract, or does it have to be an actual wallet address?
Ah, fantastic question. You can. And so one of my main concerns is that just the safety and security of crypto and Web3.
You say you can and one of the or main, you cannot?
You can.
Okay, got it.
You can. Yep. So just like you can name a wallet, you can name a contract. So if you're trying to interact with an NFT or interact with a website right now, you see the gobbledygook, right? This contract is WXYZ123, et cetera, et cetera. Those companies, those organizations can actually name that contract so that you know you're interacting with crypto101.e.
So that's really cool. Like if you were to have a smart contract living, you know, somewhere, or, you know, IPFS or something like that, and you have an ENS name attached to it, essentially you have a Web3 website with file storage and something going on the front end, whether it's a game or just simply displaying information. It doesn't necessarily have to be a financial transaction. What are the benefits of you know, doing something like that if there's some people out there that want to, you know, build a website?
So right now when you're building websites, you're going through the traditional DNS and ICANN system. And there are certain, depending on where you live, there are certain restrictions with what type of websites you can put up and censorship and you name it when you're working on traditional Web2 rails. When you're using this decentralized system, using IPFS, you can set up a website that no one can tell you to take down. That you are in control of. Just like you are in full control of your ENS name, I can't touch it. Nobody else at ENS Labs can touch it. It's yours. Same thing with the website that you choose to set up. No one can touch it. It is yours.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sounds like a great thing for WikiLeaks to do.
Hey, Web3 and if we were around, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, let's pause before we continue talking more about domains and ENS. And we want to learn more about your background, Corey. You're a very fascinating character. We want to hear how you got into crypto, how you got to where you are at ENS Labs. Give us the tale of the story.
Sure. So I've always been an early adopter with regard to technology. Always interested from the time I was a child. And I started fooling around and messing around with MS-DOS, BASIC, way back in the day. And, you know, after college now, I decided to give back and I went into education. And I went down that rabbit hole for many years, being a teacher, running a school system, you name it. But all during that time, I've always geeked out on technology. In fact, in the early 2000s, I was messing around with like the e-gold, e-palladium, some of the early digital assets. And then when Bitcoin came around, you know, I was negatively, I had a negative mindset on it just because of my previous experiences. But then Ethereum came on board. And then I started to get interested in smart contracts and the possibilities of smart contracts. And at this time, I was running a network of public charter schools here in the U.S. and started tinkering with creating a blockchain-based student information system using blockchain distributed ledger technology. And so I went down that pathway and then started to degen and doing things I wouldn't recommend now. And at one stage, the stage in my career, I decided that I wanted to get into tech and do this full time, particularly in Web3. So I started working at Circle, USDC, and led a project in the talent organization there, and then saw that Nick Johnson was looking for an executive director for ENS Labs. And due to my experiences in for-profit, non-profit, governance, and you name it, it seemed to be a great fit. So a year later, here I am, but very interested in pushing this agenda. And this is the agenda of ownership of your identity and making Web3 and the internet simple, more safe, and more secure for people to use.
And so how long did you say you've been at ENS Labs? A year about?
Just about a year.
So, yep. And I read an article the other day that said that about 2.8 million domain registrations occurred last year. And that's about 80% of all the registrations since you guys launched years and years ago. So bravo. Yes, it sounds like you definitely came in and helped kickstart the whole movement. I don't know, coincidence, causation, whatever.
Coincidence. Yeah.
But what do those numbers mean to you? Did the bear market, cause more people to register names?
Yeah. So a couple things. I think of one. I want to shout out the ENS community out there because they drove this. Mm-hmm. The community drove this from the very beginning. Just grassroots, organic support and promotion of the benefits of .eth, because ENS never really marketed itself, just organic growth driven by developers, driven by builders and community of enthusiasts. So that's actually what happened and not anything ENS Labs had done over time, you know, except build and maintain the protocol. But last year, we started to see a lot of interest in these clubs like the 999 Club, where people started to realize, wow, these names are going to be scarce. There's only a certain amount of three-digit names, certain amount of three-letter names, certain amount of four-digit names, and four-letter names. And so there was a huge, spike of interest in identity and in ENS. The other thing that we saw started to happen is around May, June, when there was sort of this cloud of a bear market coming, it seemed like people wanted to get involved with projects that were real and projects that had quality and projects that were in use right now. Right. So in contrast to some of the other projects out there, ENS is usable and effective right now. You know, we're not building something for the future. We're building something that you can use today. So I think that was actually part of what drove Love of Growth.
Yeah. And it's not just pie in the sky. Like you said, you know, these are things people could get their hands on today. And not just individuals, but I imagine there's some level of interest from enterprises. Is that the case? Have you guys seen any level of enterprise adoption, and what does that look like?
Yeah. And man, in the coming months, I'm going to be so excited to share some of the organizations that we're working with. But if you look on Twitter, you'll see some brands are starting to use their .eth names in their branding, like Puma.eth, Haritos.eth, Farfetch.eth. And other organizations that are engaging in NFT projects are actually securing their .eth addresses as well and preparing to enter the space in that way. But I think it's a signal, right? Using your .eth sends a signal to people that, hey, we're a company that we're with it, we're hip, we're attuned to the times. And you know, we want to participate in this space.
Love what it. Other major challenges are you seeing on Ethereum, and are you seeing anyone actually addressing them?
So with regard to Ethereum, you know, I've been just pleasantly pleased that a lot of the work and the development that's happening in the Ethereum Foundation and with the developers in that space, pushing the protocol forward. And that blockchain forward. So, you know, in terms of challenges, I think the biggest one that you'll hear people talk about is gas fees, right? And so these are the transaction fees that you have to pay in order to interact with smart contracts, right? So the fees that you have to pay in order to do things in Web3. And these fees vary, they go up and they go down, but a lot of times they spike and they're really high. And that can sometimes put a damper on people's willingness to engage in transactions or activities in Web3. So solutions that we're seeing are people are creating L2 solutions, which is just another layer on top of the Ethereum blockchain. That's what L2s are called. Some of them out there are Arbitrum, Optimism. So these layers they're faster and have lower gas fees. So you're seeing that as a solution to the gas fee problem.
I'm not sure if you know off the top of your head, but do you know like what the most expensive ENS that has ever been purchased or traded was?
You know, I don't know that offhand.
All good. Is there a future?
No.
Is there a future where ENSs might be free, that anybody could have them?
So here's a future that I think is very possible, and in fact happening today. So you may remember in the fall, Coinbase launched their CB.ID domain, which is an ENS name. And so all of those people receive their ENS name from Coinbase for free.
Oh.
Right?
And that was just possible because it was a centralized sort of service?
Centralized, or it's because something that they decided that they wanted to do, give out these names for free. So you could see a situation where you'll have an organization, a fan club that creates subdomains and decides to give these subdomains out to their biggest fans or people who win contests. If you think of professional sports and you have season ticket holders and things like that, I'm sure you're going to see ENS names given out to season ticket holders or people who really want to affiliate themselves with a given company, a given brand. So yeah, I think you'll be able to see subdomains.
Almost like airdrops.
Free of charge, right? Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to ask something a little bit different. You know, we went back, just going back to your background as a teacher, you know, what can we mm-hmm. do differently or better as educators in this space, as podcasters or anyone else listening that's, you know, trying to talk to their friends and family about crypto? How can we be better educators about crypto and blockchain? What are some of the things that you see most commonly done that maybe should be corrected?
Mm. So one is, I was at DevCon in Bogota in the fall and listened to a great presentation from a product designer. And she wanted to encourage all of us to start building with the end in mind, meaning starting with the consumer, right? Starting with the user. Instead of starting with a smart contract, start with the user. Figure out what the front end is going to look like, what the user journey is going to look like first. And then you start to build the tech after that. Because one of the challenges that we have is a user interface, user experience issue. So I think as educators in this space, from podcast perspective, like, let's find organizations, projects that are creating clear pathways or clear on-ramps that are simple, predictable, scaffolded, you know, from a learning perspective, maybe have some repetitive tasks, right, to build the sort of muscle memory on how to do things simply, safely, and securely in Web3. You know, you see various projects that have these quests that encourage you to take certain actions in order to get tokens or rewards or that type of thing. But let's not assume people coming to Web3 can get it and understand right off the bat how to interact. It's just not as simple as Web 2. It's just not that way yet. Hopefully we get to the place where we're not talking about distributed ledger technology. Yeah. And people are just using cool tools.
It's just running in the background. Cool tech. One of the, go for it, Pete.
I was just going to say, you know, even before we hit record earlier, we were just talking about trying to avoid industry jargon. And I don't know that we can necessarily avoid it altogether, but some of it's got to change. And I think, you know, cryptocurrency is kind of a misnomer now. There's Bitcoin and there's everything else that isn't a currency. They're just now becoming digital assets today, or, you know, tokenized assets tomorrow, or whatever it might be. And I think one of the other things that's really, really confusing for new users is the term wallet. Because the wallet's not a wallet. It doesn't store your crypto or your assets. That all lives on chain in this distributed ledger. Your wallet's more like a keychain, and you can carry your keychain with you like you would your house keys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't know if that's the right term for it either.
Yeah, keychain is a great name. Backpack, right? Digital backpack, I think, again, is another good term. But because of the prevalence of the cryptocurrency being one of the first use cases for this, you know, I think the term wallet has dominated. But yes, in order for people, the rest of the world to like get it, wallet might not be the best name for that address. Right.
Yeah. No, it just kind of makes me think of, you know, there's so much like left out there, and there's still so much that's being built, and we're in the early stages. What other areas of crypto outside of, you know, anything that ENS is directly building or affiliated with, what other areas of crypto really excite you?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm very interested in the policy side of things, because particularly for U.S. persons or folks here in the United States, the policy environment is a hindrance to innovation. You're starting to hear about firms wanting to go offshore just because of the environment is so uncertain here. It makes it difficult for builders to build and for leaders to run companies in an uncertain environment. And so those folks who are leading the policy conversations in the U.S., in Europe, and elsewhere, I think deserve like so much of our praise and support for pushing to create a more suitable soil for Web3 development.
Yeah.
Right. I think this side of Web3 has had fits and starts, but the gaming side, right, is, I think, another very interesting interesting place for folks to play in. You have the financial aspect, you have the gaming side. Identity, you know, in and of itself is also very interesting and very, very exciting. And there's so many different aspects to identity. You know, you have it goes anywhere from the simple putting your .eth as your tag in Twitter to having some robust KYC or know your customer solution attached to your wallet address or your ENS name. So many things that can be done. But going back a little bit to what we're talking about and what we should do as educators is creating on-ramps that provide simple, safe, and secure ways for people to engage in Web3. So that's one of the things that I'll be working on.
That's awesome. How's the crypto scene growing over there in your neck of the woods? And what does a thriving crypto town even look like?
So it's interesting here in Tampa, Tampa, Florida. Some people call it Crypto Bay. There have been several entities that have moved here. I think the tax environment in Florida is great, and we have a policy environment here that encourages blockchain development, crypto development. We're just very, very open to that. And you know, I've noticed in several companies that they have people appointed to research and lead Web3 or lead blockchain, and typically they're kind of junior in the organization. But they're kind of exploring the space and trying to find ways to participate. So can't say any names yet, but I'm having a good time meeting some folks who are trying to move their companies onto Web3.
Very cool. And there's a couple of questions we try and ask at least every guest one or two of these questions. But while we still have you for the next few minutes, I'm just curious about who in the crypto sphere has influenced you, influenced your thinking, been a positive kind of beacon of hope for our industry. Mm. Any good shout outs there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out Dante Disparte. Mm. Dante Disparte. And so he's the chief strategic officer at Circle. So he is committed to using Web3 for good and is really leading the charge in the policy environment in the US and abroad as well. And one of the cool things that I appreciated about him is leading the Circle Impact Initiative, where again, they want to use crypto for good, for humanitarian relief, for financial literacy. But taking the blessings that we have to help others. Right? So
love it.
Shout out to Dante.
And then kind of in follow up to that, outside of Circle, and I think we already talked about Coinbase, but what's one other company that you think is making a really big impact that everybody who's listening should go run a Google search on or go follow on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. There's so many companies here that are doing really great work. So let me shout out Uniswap.
Yeah, I like those guys.
Right. Yeah, let me shout them out. Both from the technical side of things and from the user interface things, right? Both are important, but they are absolutely good actors in this space and wanting to do right.
Yeah, and from a policy perspective, they've got a lot of folks that are pretty active in policy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, just for all those folks who are out there listening, this might be the first time they've ever listened to a crypto podcast. Their head is spinning. They've got mm-hmm. all sorts of different mm-hmm. research that they want to go do. Now, what's just one word of advice from kind of a crypto OG to somebody who might be newer in this space?
Yep. Start with your ENS name.
There we go.
Right. Start with you. And I'm not trying to shill here, but start with your ENS name, because you don't want to be copy and pasting these long addresses when you're trying to play, right? There's games in this place that you can play. Mm. There's social networks that you can play with. Of course, there's the financial aspect as well. But you don't want to be lugging around that lengthy address. But get a name that's simple and use that name. It'll save you a ton of headache and ton of heartache. And it really, it doesn't really matter how like experienced or you are in tech. So if you might remember last year, crypto.com sent $400 million worth of ETH to the wrong address.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Something crazy.
Right?
Those classic guys.
I guarantee they were not using a human readable name when that happened.
Yeah.
They probably just copied and pasted. The address looked right and might have been on some whitelist. But I think everyone from the individuals to companies, like, use human readable names, cuts down on error, and makes things easier, much easier for you.
And simple, send a test transaction first before you send over the rest of the $400 million.
Always send a test transaction.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, this was incredible. Corey, we can't thank you enough for spending the half hour with us, telling us about ENS Labs. And where should people follow the community of ENS? How do people get a little bit more dialed into your guys' community?
Yeah, and so much happening. So the first thing I'd recommend is follow us on Twitter. That's at ENS Domains.
Perfect.
At ENS Domains. And make sure it's our account, because there are a lot of spoofers and spammers out there.
Yeah.
So ENS Domains, and definitely follow us there, and you'll be able to get insights into everything that's happening in the community at that site. And we will be expanding to other social platforms in the coming months. So keep your eyes out for activity on other platforms.
All right. Well, Corey.eth, aka Mr. Corey Whitaker, Executive Director of ENS Labs, thank you for joining us here at the Crypto 101 podcast. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, great time. Thanks, fellas.
Awesome. And for everybody who's listening at home, I hope you enjoyed, and you know, stay tuned. We always got a couple guests for you each and every week. Take care.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.